Thank you for downloading Profile. In this edition, Geeta Gurumurthy looks at the life and times of Grant Shapps, the new Conservative Party co-chairman.
Not many top Tories have relatives in punk rock, but could this be the new theme music for the party conference? The new Conservative chairman, Grant Shapps, a cousin of a Clash musician, Shapps is certainly not just a figure from Tory central casting.
Somebody said, oh, he's the Duracell bunny of the Conservative Party. And I did laugh at that because, you know, I think it's a rather apt description.
He's been on the end of a car crash. He survived a life-threatening illness. And I think that gives you a hinterland and that gives you context in your life.
He's admired for his enthusiasm and his unstoppability, but I do sometimes wonder whether there isn't a little bit of that that might also sometimes grate with people. His sheer force of personality, some people perhaps have suggested a little bit like an estate agent, doesn't find universal favour. Should I stay or should I go now?
3 years from now, the electorate will let the Conservatives know whether they should stay or go, and Grant Shapps will have key responsibility for bringing out the Tory vote. Seen by supporters as an effective campaigner and media performer, the 43-year-old MP for Welwyn Hatfield in Hertfordshire has already shown his teeth, for instance, in this interview last year with John Humphreys.
John, can I just give you the opportunity to correct an impression left by the programme yesterday that said that I pulled out of an interview that had been booked late the night before? That wasn't the case. I'd never actually been booked for an interview the night before.
Well, we spoke to you, we took copious notes, as is our practice.
Shapps has a very different background to those at the top of the party. His family boasts interesting musical credentials. As well as having Mick Jones from The Clash as his cousin, his brother Andre was the keyboard player in Big Audio Dynamite. Their father was a graphic designer and Grant Shapps was born in Watford. School was the local grammar and Grant Shapps was part of a Jewish youth organisation called the BBYO. TV producer Ronit Noble recalls a teenage Shapps throwing himself into campaigning even then for leadership positions in the group and says it was a great political training ground.
We would try and convince people to sing our songs, clap our claps, sing our chants, wave our waves and generally vote for us if we were standing for various election positions.
And how successful was Grant Shapps at all that?
Very successful. He managed to make it to national president, I seem to remember, and he was the one that used to stand out as the person that used to love doing the clapping and the cheering and the singing.
Another former member, Simon Johnson, who became director of the Football Association, remembers his meeting with an ambitious 13-year-old.
I remember very clearly him saying, "My name's Grant, I'm from Pinner, and my ambition is to be a Conservative cabinet minister." Now, at the height of Thatcherism in the 1980s, that was a very brave thing for him to say. And although it exposed him to a great deal of mickey-taking, I remember thinking that that was somebody with a very clear idea of what they wanted to do, and I got a sense of his focus and his ambition.
Shapps went on to study business and finance at Manchester Polytechnic. But aged 20, whilst in the US, he nearly lost his life. He was in a car crash, going into a coma for almost a week. He recovered, but just over a decade later, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. For his sister and brother Andre, it was a horrifying time.
My parents were brilliant, actually. In one stage, they just left the three of us in the room where he was. And it was probably the day after he'd been admitted to hospital, and we all just cried and cried and cried. I mean, you can imagine when you actually believe there's a good chance your brother's going to die. It's horrible. But again, after the chemo started, which is also a nasty process, everyone just got positive, and I think we did pretty well. And then after a few months, one day he called me and he said, "I've been told I'm in remission." And I must say, and I put the phone down, and that's when I really cried.
Throughout all this time, Shapps had grown a successful printing business, started at the age of 21 to finance his interest in politics. At the end of John Major's term of office in 1996, he was ever loyal to a struggling Prime Minister at Tory conference.
There's a sort of palpable sense of excitement here. People really feel now, perhaps for the first time for a long while, that there really is now a good shot of us winning this election. I think it's going to be a really sort of exciting period now in the next 7 months as we put our policies forward.
But do you think that John Major, by exploiting the background that he comes from, he's actually exceptional within the Conservative Party? What about the people who are in the cabinet?
No, I'm in exactly the same position myself.
A year later, he stood against Simon Hughes, the current Liberal Democrat deputy leader, in a seat where the Tories had no hope. But Hughes says the young candidate took the fight seriously, though he was always courteous.
He's often said all the campaigning he ever learnt, he learnt from us, Liberals in Southwark or Liberals in Bermondsey or me or my team or whatever. And he watched that and he copied that to some extent. I seem to remember that some of the Tory leaflets that appeared in the run-up to the election of 97 didn't look hugely dissimilar from our leaflets.
Whether copying from the Lib Dems or not, he gained a reputation for becoming a skilled campaigner, eventually winning a seat in Welwyn Hatfield in 2005. He was made Tory vice-chairman, but Sam Coates, deputy political editor of The Times, strikes a note of caution.
Certainly his first big test, which was quite early on after he was elected to be put in charge of the Ealing Southall by-election, didn't go very well. The Conservatives didn't win and senior Tories did feel that the campaign was a bit of a flop. In his role as a campaigner, which is what he's sort of meant to be highly regarded for, he has yet to prove himself, which makes the choice of a job of party chairman, which very much will have the hands on many of the reins of the next election campaign, is an interesting one.
Certainly, Shapp seems a fan of technology and social media for campaigning, but his online interests have been getting him into hot water. Shapp has lots of Twitter followers, but there have been suggestions that the MP might have used a device to increase his Twitter support. Andy McSmith, political writer at The Independent.
I had a look through the other day, and the people he's following included at least two women who have never tweeted and have only one follower. That is Grant Shapps. There is a teenager somewhere in Spain who's tweeted twice. The first time she said Justin Bieber. The second time she said in Spanish that she was taking communion in her bedroom. And her followers include Grant Shapps. You find there's a man who tweets only in Greek, one who tweets only in Polish, one who tweets only in Dutch, all of whom are followed by Grant Shapps.
Grant Shapps says he does all his own tweets and nobody else has access to his account. But also raising eyebrows is the revelation that Grant Shapps has had an alias, Michael Green. Shapps set up an online self-help business with a website called How To Corp with his wife Belinda, using the pen name, and has contributed to some of the self-help guides. Andy McSmith again.
In politics, you know, character matters much more than it used to. What we know about Grant Shapps is interesting. It's not scandalous. As people get to know about it, they'll take a view about it. Now, if people think that this is all a bit weird, it'll hurt him. If, on the other hand, they think, well, this is just a guy who's adroit, then it'll work to his credit.
This week, Google has penalised the website, stopping it from advertising because it sells software which lifts content from other sites, breaching Google's own policies. Grant Shapps says he's no longer involved with his wife's business, and criticism is brushed off by fellow Tory MP Nick Bowles.
The truth is, I know that Google, which is a company I admire and use, you know, most minutes of the day, but, you know, it isn't the church. It doesn't get to peer into men's souls and it doesn't get to decide what is right or wrong. And Google may not like it, but Google's big enough to look after itself.
But what about Grant Shapps' record in office? He's had the housing brief in opposition and government for the last 5 years. His brother, Andre, says homelessness is a matter close to Grant Shapps' heart.
I asked him what particularly about politics interested him, and this way before he was elected, he said one thing that he really thinks is almost the most important thing is homelessness. So if there's any calculation involved, I suppose he probably always would have wanted to be housing minister for that reason.
And why was it that issue that affected him so much?
He just felt like the fourth largest economy, I think we possibly were at the time, it's absolutely ridiculous that there's this number of people sleeping rough.
But the Labour shadow housing minister, Jack Dromey, is scathing about such claims.
He's typical of the Cameroonians in that he cultivated a liberal image, for example, saying that it was homelessness that brought him into politics. But he's actually really quite right-wing. And on delivery as housing minister, to be frank, it was a record of miserable failure. If we had a house for every press statement issued by Grant Shapps, we wouldn't have a housing crisis. And I've got to say, if he does the same for the Conservative Party as he did for housing, then the Tories are doomed.
If Shapps wants to escape the Westminster pressures, his own home life seems to be important. He has three young children, and one passion outside politics is flying. Shapps is a qualified pilot, quite handy for going to lunch, says friend MP Stuart Jackson.
he flew us over to Le Touquet. We had lunch in the town, came to the airfield and flew back on a beautiful summer's day over the English Channel. And he let me grab the flying wheel and do it. And it was pretty terrifying from my point of view, but he was just cool as a cucumber.
Back in the UK, Shapps apparently has more down-to-earth tastes. Nando's is said to be a favourite for him and his friends.
We do meet in Nando's from time to time at the Hatfield shopping centre on the A1. We both just are Nando's crazy.
He makes a lot of his like of Nando's.
Sam Coates of The Times.
He is saying, I am not a Notting Hill privileged Tory MP from a wealthy background. I'm somebody who has strived to get where I am, and I don't need the finest restaurants and the best London clubs in order to feel fulfilled.
Shapps' populist tastes might well prepare him for the rubber chicken circuit that he's about to embark on as Tory chairman, rallying the troops. Now that he's got the job that he's apparently been lobbying for, will he re-energise the Tory base? Will they like him? He's seen as being on the mainstream right, but for all the confidence, some ask, is there too much swagger? His friend Stuart Jackson MP says maybe there is some truth in comments that Shapps is a bit of a Tory boy.
Those of us who are in our 40s are probably 80s Tory boys. You know, we think that, as one of my colleagues said this week, the next best thing to Dallas coming back is Margaret Thatcher coming back. And we only say that with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. You know, we are a product of that era to a certain extent. But at the same time, in Grant's case, he is about as modern a Tory as you can imagine. He's pitch perfect for the current parliamentary Conservative Party, I would say.
With membership down since the election, the pressure on Shapps will now be huge, and his Lib Dem colleague Simon Hughes says his appointment could signal a change in the Conservative approach.
I guess he's going to be in his job more tribal, and in the second half of a parliament, when minds turn to a general election campaign, and not least, I guess, after it being clear that boundary changes aren't going to go ahead, which may make it a bit more difficult for the Conservative Party next time, they will want somebody who can take the gloves off. For Grant, I guess there's a particular challenge. The Tories thought they were going to get a majority last time. They clearly didn't. It would be extremely disappointing for them, an extreme failure for him, I think, if that wasn't to happen.
But how much influence will Grant Shapps actually have, given strategy is still firmly in the hand of the Chancellor? Has Shapps been appointed for his tech-savvy campaigning skills and because he's trusted basically to do what he's told and get on with the laborious legwork? Sam Coates of The Times.
He will cooperate, he will work as a team, but I don't think that he's somebody that you can just hand a series of orders to and be left to get on with it. He will want to push the idea of a sort of mainstream Standing Up for Britain campaign. And I think if there's an attempt to fudge how the Tories position themselves at the next election, I have no doubt that Grant will be the one in the room saying that they've got to be clearer in pushing the party along that path that he wants to.
Fans of Grant Shapps predictably talk him up. Could he bid for the top job himself at some point? Critics say he's all show and no delivery. And they ask, could his risk-taking make him vulnerable? With Tory conference and a by-election coming up in the next few weeks, this man who likes a challenge will certainly be exposed. The general election itself will determine the fate of the Tories and Grant Shapps' political future. Should I stay or should I go now?
Profile was presented by Geeta Gurumurthy and produced by Chris Bowlby. We hope you enjoyed the programme. To find out more about other Radio 4 downloads and for our full terms and conditions, please visit the Radio 4 website.